I'm Bill Littlefield. Coming up on Only a Game, my conversation with Robert Lipsight about his memoir, An Accidental Sports Writer. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our discussion of the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Bill.
It's been 19 years since the Boston Bruins made it as far as the Eastern Conference Championships. It's been a considerably shorter time for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who won the Stanley Cup in 2004. Does any of this matter this time around?
Well, remember the distinction that the Tampa Bay Lightning has.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only team ever to win the Stanley Cup one year and retain it without ever having to play for it the following year.
Thanks to brilliant skills on the part of those who run
the negotiators. Exactly. They were the holdover NHL disappears Stanley Cup champions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't imagine it matters much, the fact that there isn't a lot of history between these two teams. It's a fascinating series. The Bruins are playing it absolutely at the top of their game right now. And Tampa Bay's got one of the weirdest stats I've ever seen. Almost all of their offense comes either on the power play or while killing penalties.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ludicrous amount of the offense, and at least in the previous series, came in when one team or the other was shorthanded.
The San Jose Sharks had lost three straight potentially series-clinching games against the Detroit Red Wings before finally advancing on Thursday. Starting tomorrow, the Sharks will face Vancouver in the Western Conference Finals. Which team has the advantage there?
I think Vancouver does. I think Vancouver is going to play for and win the Stanley Cup this year. Although it was good to see San Jose finally get over the seventh game thing. Joe Thornton actually played like he knew what he was doing in the playoffs, as did Patrick Marleau.
New York Rangers forward Sean Avery is in the news this week for taking a stand in support of gay marriage. One Canadian broadcaster has lost his job for agreeing with the sports agent who disagreed with Avery's position. Politics aside, should anybody be losing a job over this?
No, this is corporate media enforcing these what they insist and maintain are called ethics codes, which are really called speech codes and ought to be called please don't write us nasty email codes. There's absolutely no reason for this guy to have lost his job. I don't agree with the guy's position. I applaud Sean Avery for taking the position he did. But certainly nobody in a broadcast or even quasi-journalistic medium should lose his job because somewhere outside of their work they expressed an opinion. That's offensive. That's what happens when you hand this industry over to bean counters and cowards.
Everybody who thought they'd see the Celtics play the Lakers for the NBA championship once again this spring has had to find another matchup to anticipate. I realize it's just the Eastern Conference championship, Charlie, but the series starting tomorrow between the Chicago Bulls and the Miami Heat should offer some solace, don't you think?
Oh, I think it's going to be a terrific series. I think Chicago got shook a little bit by Atlanta because Atlanta was a very tough matchup for the Bulls. But I think when you've got the obvious stars of the Heat and Derrick Rose, who finally was named the league MVP and should have been, I think this is going to showcase some wonderful, wonderful basketball.
I'm telling you, I root for Dallas from here on in.
And why
I root, I root for 53-pointers the next time they play. I thought that was one of the more entertaining games I've ever seen when they beat the Lakers with all those three-point shots.
I kept waiting for them to stop it and hand somebody a stuffed dolphin or something.
The Lakers really made a mess of their departure from the playoffs. Lamar Odom and Andrew Bynum were both tossed from the final game for egregious fouls. Bynum apologized, but throwing that elbow into J.J. Barea turned out to be an expensive move.
Yeah, $25,000 fine and probably a suspension at the beginning of the year. Plus, he took off his shirt, he acted like a jackass, and he completely devalued himself as an NBA player. There was a lot of talk that Orlando would trade Dwight Howard as opposed to losing him to free agency sometime before the end of next season. And one of the places they talked about was trading him to the Lakers for Andrew Bynum. That deal, I would imagine, is dead at this point.
In the latest legal wrinkle involving the NFL lockout, the players have politely asked a federal judge to award them $707 million of the dollars that were headed for the pockets of the owners. Given the way this lockout has been progressing, are you surprised they didn't just go ahead and ask for, $4 billion?
$4 billion! I think what will happen here is the players will win in District Judge David Doty's court, probably lose on appeal, and this will be yet another one of the 25-track litigation strategy that both sides seem to be pursuing.
Remember those stories about how quarterback Cam Newton was for sale to the highest bidding college? Because apparently there will soon be some statuesque evidence that those stories count for naught at Auburn University.
Auburn's going to put up a statue to him, and why not? He got them a national championship. If they paid for it, they got what they paid for.
That is the most straightforward interpretation of that circumstance I've heard yet.
All books are in balance, my friend.
Never mind the multi-million-dollar scandal, there will be a Tostitos Fiesta Bowl next winter. This leads me to wonder how much criminal activity has to be associated with a college bowl game before it gets blown up.
Well, it depends. If it's the players, we have national scandals and total disgrace, and let's put these miserable young miscreants in the stocks. If you're a bunch of fat guys who are tied in with the corporate class who wear blazers, you find them $1 million, which is boutonniere money for these people, and you move right along.
The line between pharmacological treatment necessary to heal an athlete and pharmacological treatment meant to enhance the athlete's performance has always been hard to establish. How should
we? But by God, we're going to fall all over ourselves trying.
Grab a hammer and let's go to it. How should we regard the stem cell treatment received by Yankees pitcher Bartolo Colon?
As a medical miracle. I hope he gets back in pitches. And I mean, we need more evidence that this whole drug frenzy is making people stupid. The fact that this is a controversy and that Major League Baseball is looking into it. Suppose in 1963, Bill, we could have had a surgery that would guarantee us 9 more years of Sandy Koufax at the top of his game. How in heaven's name is that bad?
I'm with you all the way, except I was a Giants fan.
Well, that's a problem, but...
There's a world record for everything, and in Nature's Valley, South Africa, Scott Huntley, originally from Scotland, set his world record. I'm guessing that his accomplishment involved precisely as many ups as downs.
Well no. See, I don't know that that's true, and the account of it is incomplete. He completed 105 bungee jumps in a 7.5-hour period. The video I've seen of bungee jumping, because I have no intention of bungee jumping myself, you sort of like hang there and bounce for a while before they haul you up.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure if this guy just did the one thing and then started up, or if he let the momentum, you know, carry him for a few. He did point out that he only stopped twice, and that was to go to the toilet, and I think if you're bungee jumping, that's a heck of an idea.
Charlie
and
Pierce.
So, by the way, to the little woodland critters below.
Charlie Pierce is the author of Idiot America and several other books. He joins me each week at this time on Only a Game as well. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.